Connecticut's unemployment rate dropped slightly last month. Labor officials saying the state lost 2,200 jobs in August and issued amended numbers for July showing an additional 900 jobs lost in that month. However, state records overall show the number of jobs in Connecticut increased by 12,000 so far this year. So we still have some time to go. But what was interesting is I noticed there was a presser that went out from state Republicans, and it specifically was highlighting our manufacturing jobs. It was a release that came out from several lawmakers, including Senate Minority Leader Steve Harding, saying the report states that Connecticut manufacturing jobs declined last month, likely because employers are not able to keep pace with retirements. It continues by saying this is highly concerning. Clearly, more must be done to strengthen Connecticut's workforce development pipeline. So I thought, let's go to the guy who knows everything about manufacturing, our chief manufacturing officer, Paul Lavoie. And fun fact, he is the only chief manufacturing officer in the entire country. So, Paul, welcome back and talk to us a little bit about, are you concerned with the job loss report that just came out and specifically manufacturing jobs?
Hi, Melissa. Good morning. And it's great to have the opportunity to talk to you this morning. I'm always concerned when we see job loss numbers within the manufacturing sector. But quite frankly, it's, I think, a reality that we're going to see on an ongoing basis. And that simply is that, you know, there are not enough people to fill the open jobs. We still have 10,000 open positions in the manufacturing sector. So losing, you know, a report that comes out and says that we've lost 700 jobs, I guess means now we only have 9,300 open jobs in the sector as well. And so the problem is really that that we just don't have enough people here in the state of Connecticut to fill our open jobs. We have 100,000 open jobs across the entire state, and we have 63,000 people on unemployment. And you just saw that the unemployment rate went down. So, and this is not just a Connecticut problem. This is a national problem and an international problem that populations are declining, and we really need to be addressing the fact that we have a smaller labor pool, and it's going to be a bit of a challenge. And that, you know, some of the other things that are in play as well. Well, I guess we can talk about that. But I am always concerned when we see job loss within the manufacturing sector. But I'm keenly aware of the reasons why we're seeing that. And then I can certainly love to talk about exactly what we're doing to make sure that manufacturers have the workforce that they need to be successful on a going forward basis.
And honestly, that's why Paul is somebody who comes on this show pretty regularly, because we also know that we are top notch when it comes to manufacturing opportunities in the state of Connecticut. And we know, again, based on the fact that we're the only ones who have invested in a chief manufacturing officers in the country, we know that this is something we're focused on. And yes, I do want to hear, Paul, how we are addressing it. First, though, I want to know, do you agree with the statement that was put out by some of the Senate Republicans, you know, talking about how, you know, keeping pace with retirements, also talking about workforce development pipeline and the need to listen to job creators?
So first, let me take the first one. So I agree with the fact that that part of the job loss is due to retirements, right? So, I mean, you know, and actually I disagree with that, because when you look at job loss, we're talking about jobs that don't exist, right? We're not talking about people that aren't in jobs. We still have 10,000 open jobs. So people retiring just means that those 10,000 open jobs are not going to be
filled. We have vacancies. It doesn't mean we've eliminated their job.
Right. So it's really not due to retirements. What's really the factors that are in play that are affecting jobs in the state of Connecticut in the manufacturing sector are really, there's really four things that are going on. First and foremost, and this hits hard certainly in the Bridgeport and Stratford area, I think we all know that Sikorsky didn't get the new contract for the vertical lift helicopter, and then the Army canceled another contract. Well, while Sikorsky still has plenty of work and they're still making Blackhawks and CH-53s, they had a very large engineering staff that was working on new development products, and they just did a significant layoff in their engineering staff, which makes sense. If they're not going to be working on those products, they don't really need that staff. Production staff was not affected. We're still making plenty of helicopters. Everything's fine at Sikorsky for the next 10 years or so, and they're working on their plans for longer term. So we see some of that. We're also seeing a softening in the medical device industry. I talk to suppliers in the medical device industry, and they're telling me that they're slow. And when they're slow, they can't maintain all of their payrolls. So they have to, you know, make some adjustments to their payrolls. We think that the medical device industry is slow because during the pandemic, it was such a critical industry that everybody was stockpiling inventory. And now we're starting to work down that inventory. And once that inventory is worked down, that industry will come back up again. The other thing is high energy costs. We all know high energy costs are in the news. I was talking with a manufacturer in one part of the state and said his energy costs have gone up so much that he had to lay two people off just to be able to operate his business. There's a business in Stratford that the public benefit charges are $15,000 a month more.
Yeah, it's insane.
Manufacturers have, they're these incredible pressures, and when that happens, they can't cut their rent. They can't, you know, they can't do anything else. The only variable factor they have is their labor pool. So they really have to look at that. And then the other thing that we have in play goes back to my original statement that we don't have enough people. So we're seeing manufacturers making significant investments in industrial automation where, I mean, I have a manufacturer up in Enfield, Connecticut that used to have 7 people working on a process, working on an assembly, and they've automated that. And now they have 1. And the interesting thing is that if they needed 7 people, they'd be out of business because they couldn't find the 7 people. So it's so you can say we eliminated 6 jobs, but those were 6 jobs we were never going to fill. So we didn't. What we did was we increased productivity by the utilization of automation. And by the way, the person that's running that is making significantly more money than the 7 people that would have been assembling it. So if you take a look at, you know, what happened at Sikorsky, the medical device industry, high energy costs, and the implementation of automation, we're going to start to see either flat job growth or even a little declining job growth in the manufacturing sector as manufacturers get much more smarter about how to be more productive with fewer people based on the fact that, A, it's expensive, right? We have high healthcare costs, we have high labor costs, we have high energy costs. All of those things come into play. And when those come into play, that means we need to be smarter and better with fewer jobs, which doesn't mean we're not more productive and not generating more income to the economy. It's just a different business model. And by the way, the payroll dollars of those people, those jobs that are not being filled, is higher than the payroll number for when we had those jobs. So there's more tax dollars going into the state of Connecticut. So listen, it's not a job elimination strategy. It's not a job replacement strategy. It's simply a survival strategy in that we have a shortage of people, and people are going to figure out how to become more productive and how to grow their business with fewer people, because we have to do it to survive during the state of Connecticut.
Right. I mean, so obviously a lot of challenging factors impacting the manufacturing jobs in Connecticut. We're talking to Paul Lavoie this morning, but what is the state doing to address this? We're going to get that from Paul right after traffic and weather here. I'm Melissa in the morning. So how are we attracting people to the manufacturing industry here in Connecticut? Our chief manufacturing officer, Paul Lavoie, is here. And Paul, what can you tell us? I know you come on the show pretty frequently whenever there are opportunities for people to learn more about manufacturing and to understand what jobs are open to people and sort of break the archaic thought that the average person has about manufacturing. So how does the state attack this?
Sure. So we have Connecticut has a couple of advantages over any other state. We are the first state to have a chief workforce officer and an office of workforce strategy. And our chief workforce officer is focused on building out the workforce in all sectors across the state of Connecticut, including the manufacturing sector. And of course, we have the advantage of having a chief manufacturing officer that's focused on the manufacturing sector. So we run 16 programs right now, all of designed to help develop talent within the manufacturing sector, but also designed to inspire young people to consider careers in manufacturing. You know, we did a study and we thought that the young people in Connecticut felt that manufacturing was dark, dirty, and dangerous, and they weren't interested in careers. And so we did a research study, and what we found kind of blew us away in that kids today don't have any perception of manufacturing. Apparently, we've raised an entire generation of young people who think things magically appear in an Amazon warehouse and get shipped to their house. And they have no connection to the fact that people actually make things. And so we've launched 16 programs. Some are short-term programs that are focused on getting high school kids excited about careers in manufacturing. We invested money in a marketing campaign that is out there currently in the marketplace called I Got It Made, which highlights young people and the exciting careers that are available to them in manufacturing. And we funded programs like a $2 million, two-year FIRST Robotics program, which is that we're supporting robotics initiatives across the state, K through 12. We found that we had disparity in our FIRST Robotics programs. More affluent communities had great programs, and some of the underserved communities were struggling to, you know, find money for registration fees and things like that. And what the state of Connecticut done is provided equality across the entire spectrum in that we pay for all the registration fees, we pay for all kits, and we've started over 50 new programs by implementing this program in the state of Connecticut. So we have now tens of thousands of kids engaged in robotics programs in K through 12, really to help build that pipeline. And in those 16 programs, we do things like we provide every manufacturer in the state of Connecticut with up to $100,000 in matching funds. These are matching grant funds to train their existing employees. So if you wanted to send your employees out for training, we'll match you 50 cents on the dollar. The state of Connecticut wants to be the manufacturing company's partners in training and developing your existing workforce to make sure that we're upskilling and reskilling workers as well. We fund apprenticeships. We fund internships. We have a manufacturer, Melissa, that built a manufacturing facility at the York Correctional Center in Niantic and actually employs incarcerated women to be able to make their parts and then gives them a full-time job upon when they're released from their program. And they have a 0% recidivism rate. And they have over 90 second chance employees working in their manufacturing facility. We are doing amazing things in the state of Connecticut to give people an opportunity to enjoy a well-paying and rewarding career in manufacturing. And we're doing it through the Manufacturing Innovation Fund, which is a fund that was created by our legislature. So, you know, our legislature continues to invest in the Manufacturing Innovation Fund. And again, with 16 programs that we're running, this is a generational problem, right? We've spent an entire generation telling kids to go to college and not consider trade schools and other careers. Mm-hmm. And by the way, you know, you can go from high school into the trades and then you can always go back to college. I mean, I didn't get my 4-year degree right out of high school. I went to work and got my degree at night. So there's always a path for everybody. So college is critically important, but for some 18-year-olds, it's not attainable for them either from a, you know, they're not interested or fiscally or financially, they can't afford it. Get a great job and then go back to school. I mean,
exactly.
You know, so we have to do a better job of, and we are doing a much better job of inspiring kids to consider that there are other options for them.
Exactly. And I think it's a call to action too for things like, you know, we have, you know, coming up in just a couple of weeks, the Southern Connecticut College and Career Fair that's going on at the Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater in Bridgeport. And, you know, right there on the website, yes, there are colleges and universities there, there's military services, but there are, you know, almost two dozen different sectors in just manufacturing, engineering, and technology that people can get in on after they graduate from high school. So those opportunities are out there. It doesn't always have to be right to college. And so I so appreciate the words of Paul Lavoie in saying that. And Paul, I want to thank you for always making the time to come on WICC. We really appreciate it. And I'm sure we'll be talking again really soon.